Ever notice you walk better when you have a grocery cart? Maybe it's time to call Joint Relief Institute for fast, non-surgical knee pain relief. 708-888-0000.
You heard in that opening, Pearl the Whale from SpongeBob. Pearl the Whale is also on the telephone with me right now, and Bonnie's mom in Toy Story is also on the telephone with me right now because obviously they're the same person.
They are? That's crazy.
Isn't it?
I didn't know that was possible. That's crazy. That's absolutely insane, Jack. I didn't even know. But you really should go find your toys. You really need to be a good person out there. I swear, the voice is in my head. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? I just try to put him to good work.
It's Lori Allen, who is the voice of all of the things that I've mentioned, plus a whole bunch more that we will mention. Now, here's the thing. I've thought a lot about, you know, I'm on the radio, I talk. Voiceovers in movies, voiceovers in commercials, voiceover. So you've had an unbelievably successful career. And I mean, you had, three decades just doing The Whale?
I've been 16 for almost 30 years now. It's incredible.
Isn't that great?
It's amazing.
And the thing is,
my folks are voiceover people back in the D.C., Maryland area. So I kind of come from, you know, theater voiceover folks. My dad was a DJ. My sister's a DJ. My mom.
Hold on. Really?
Yeah, which is where Diane Simmons is based on, really, is on my mom. And so that's, you know, you just sort of pull from what you know. And then this business is kind of crazy. And I was like, but I saw my folks doing it. So I thought, you know what, I can, if I'd come home and said I wanted to be a lawyer or doctor, they would have thought I was absolutely irresponsible and needed to take a gap year, have a backup and juggling. But I went for it, man. You know, support your kids in the arts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My kid's an actor, so I understand completely what you're talking about.
Oh, that's great.
Here's where I was stumbling to try to get to this point. So as a voice actor, you have all these different parts, a.k.a. mm-hmm. characters, that you do in separate projects. How do you remember the voice of that particular character that you're doing without?
Well, by that point, you've already auditioned to get it, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes, like, if it's a character you're revisiting, I mean, I don't think I could ever forget how to do Pearl Crabs.
Right.
But for example, I play the boss in the Metal Gear Solid game franchise. And so we had a remastering after many, many decades.
Amazing.
And so I said, play her for me because I want to hear. And I was like, oh, I have aged a bit since then. So my voice is like in a perfect spot. You know what I mean? And then sometimes like with Bonnie's mom, from like 3 to 4, whatever, she was just a little bit more soft-spoken than I remembered, you know? So, you know, you can always ask somebody to, a good engineer, production company, casting folks will replay it for you. But once you've booked a part, if you're just as ridiculously fortunate and, you know, you've already created that character, it's what got you in there, you know,
right.
Somebody will play it for you as a reference. Sometimes you'll book something and you're like, oh my God, what did I do? And you'll scroll through your auditions that you sent into your agent and you'll be like, oh, that's what the old lady sounded like, you know, from give yourself a little,
pressure
upper.
In the movie industry, there are, I think there's a phrase that's used occasionally called franchise. For instance, Marvel Universe is a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You are in the Pixar Toy Story franchise.
I am in the Marvel. It really is.
That's something else.
It is trippy to be on this, like Tom Hanks, I've heard him say it, so I can't take credit, but he's like, it's a literal joyride to know that it brings people so much joy. And the messages are quite deep. You know, if you think about kids having their feelings and expressing their feelings and going through puberty and moving, and that's what Inside Out 1 and 2 were about. And, you know, the little girl moves. And this one, she's dealing, you know, Bonnie's dealing with cyberbullying. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that's, you know, that is so smart and poignant and necessary You know, I really feel like it's the right movie for the right time. I've seen some remarkable responses online. This one woman said, you know, my 5-year-old came out of the movie, just couldn't stop crying. And she said, honey, what's the matter? And she said, I want to play more. I don't want to just have my iPad. And she was like, oh my God. She said, I had to work on my parenting skills, you know, because she's like, I hand her the iPad because my 9-year-old requires more attention. And she goes, well, I want to play with my sister. You know, so she said, you're just constantly learning from this beautiful franchise. It's really, you know, I heard the director, creator, whom I adore, Andrew Stanton, and he said, we're not making this stuff for kids. It happens to be kid friendly. And that is such a delineation, you know. And it really is. I have been floating really truly since the premiere. It was just so lovely. And, you know, we don't always see each other. I mean, I see my SpongeBob people. I'll see them next week. Actually, I'm looking at my calendar. I see them next week and we're in person and we're just insane. We've known each other like 30 years almost. So we're just like happy every single time you walk into Nickelodeon, there's this hello sign. So you're very happy. And then the Toy Story stuff, like, I don't doubt, I wouldn't be surprised if it's the last, and I wouldn't be surprised if they just keep going because they're thematically so incredibly different. You know, this one is really from Jesse's point of view, and it's beautiful. I've had my third time seeing it already. Just sit and laugh and cry, and you listen to my fellow voice actors. It's really something.
Lori
So lucky.
Allen, we'll do more when we come back on 720 WGN.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
719 with John Landecker on the WGN radio. Talking to Lori Allen, an actress, but a voice of so many characters that you don't even know who she is, because there are just so many that have been part of our lives for literally decades. And I guess the latest one is Toy Story. But then you mentioned you're looking at your calendar and you're meeting the SpongeBob people.
Yep.
It just sounds so weird. I'm looking at my
calendar. It does sound weird.
I'm meeting the SpongeBob people next week. I mean, that's just awesome. It's just so awesome. I can't stand it.
I know, it is pretty awesome. You know, when I think that, you know, like I just talk for a living, and I'll, you know, my mom had heart surgery a while ago, and the nurses were like beside themselves. I'm like, I just make silly voices, you save lives. And then there'll be stories where, you know, like if you're at an autograph signing convention and this one kid said, you know, I had a really difficult time with a domestic situation with my dad growing up, and it was really abusive. And he said, and I just watched SpongeBob over and over and over. And then he said, when my dad and I, many years later, you know, reconnected and had a healthier relationship experience, he said, it's because we played Metal Gear Solid game together. You know, and what I love is that I mean, there's a reason something's a classic, right? There's a reason
Yes,
that, you know,
indeed.
there's TV shows, movies, albums, 70s rock, like, you know, all my classic rock. I went in to pick up dog food, and she was listening to, like, what was she listening to? Something like, I don't know, like, or maybe it was like heavy metal. And she was listening to ACDC. I'm like, yeah, that was my prom music. That's what you're old enough to be my granddaughter, you know? But like, they're classics for a reason, right? And so that this many generations are getting their ears, their brains, their happy places with these shows, and whether it's something that I happen to be on, yay, or just stuff that we can get. I fall asleep to the Golden Girls. I fall asleep to, like, SNL, like The Vault, right? So it's all the great classic sketches, and it's part of the zeitgeist of our. It's just to know that I'm anywhere in that realm and that zeitgeist is just sort of trippy, because I don't really think about what I do, because you're just talking, like, in a room in your home studio, in your closet. And, you know, if it's hot, there's no air conditioning in there, you'd be like, I'm in my jammies and not much else, honey. Sorry, don't bring anybody over. And then you don't get to see the final show or the movie along with the rest of the world, you know? And so it's very exciting. Like, I was so happily overwhelmed at the premiere. I was like, oh my God, because you get to know little snippets, especially with something as high profile as Toy Story. You don't get to, there's like, you know, you can't tweet about it or share about it. You may tell your,
Oh
you
yeah,
know,
I know. I know what you're
husband or
talking
wife or
about.
something like that. Yeah. But it's
I think,
wonderful to see it all come together.
well, you know, you make a very good point that that these various projects. Well, SpongeBob and Toy Story specifically carry with them very positive messages for the viewer, if you will, and the younger viewer, even though the projects are not written with children as the target. They relate and adults relate. And the thing also is that, okay, you're in Toy Story 5, right?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That means that
there was a handoff of toys in Toy Story. The end of Toy Story 3 is one of the most, Tom Hanks said it's his favorite like scene or moment. And it's such a transitional moment because you really think like Toy Story 3, it would just be done there. And, you know, Andy's mom drops off the toys to a daycare center because Andy's going off to college and I run the daycare. And so I had no idea as an actor, you don't know. I mean, I'm a freelancer. I get hired day to day. I audition every day. Yeah. I have a certain amount of, you know, people that would know me from my work and can vouch for me and that kind of thing. But, you know, when you are in your little bubble, like I said, you just don't know. And so when the toys get handed off at the end of Toy Story 3, it is so beautiful because you can see that Andy comes and like gives his blessing to Bonnie and I play her mom. And so then Toy Story 4, I was like, wait, what? When I sort of got told what the gist of it was. Mm-hmm. And again, didn't see the final thing until the theaters like everybody else.
Right, right. Well, I was just going to say that the writing of these projects is an unbelievably important part of the success of all these Toy Story movies. I mean, they wouldn't exist unless there was some kind of meaningful, important script that you and the other actors can interpret as your characters. It's a testament to the writers that they don't burn this franchise out.
Right. Really. And it's really wonderful if you listen to a lot of interviews with like Andrew Stanton was around since the beginning. And he is so incredible. He's like, I never... It's a bad double neg. He's like, I'm always excited to do my job. And Kenna Harris, she came on and just threw in a bunch of other like sort of layers, dimensions, so that it's not just about her toys versus her lily pad, you know, the iPad, the thing that she's the device, as it's known, as it's said by Jesse so much in the movie. Hey, get away from me, you device. But to talk about their desire to want to deepen the message, the story, and, you know, really like cyberbullying and the fact that there are consequences to, you know, like Bonnie has to really speak up for herself and make some new friends. And it's also being like authentic to me. One of the messages, because I was picked on as a kid and I was different and I was weird and sensitive and whatever. And then at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, 1, 2, 3, we'll wait. So the spoiler alert is she finds out there's this other lovely kid who has the same exact, you know, vibe and love for, you know, a more like authentic childhood. And instead of just seeing screens and all the windows, how they portray that to the artwork is just magnificent. I mean, it's really stunning. It's really stunning.
I think that we've been educated to a certain extent that all of you are not in the same room during the script at the same time.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Somebody comes in on another day, they do that part. Somebody comes in on another day, they do that part. They're all alone in a studio, having to emote this character without another actor to bounce off of.
Somebody will most likely read with you, and at that point you've known them a little bit. So I got to read with Kenna, and they were amazing. Oh my God, they made me cry so hard. Because they were reading as Bonnie. And so I got to just, and like, I remember I was getting over horrible bronchitis, and it was one of those things where you just sound like, you know, for the next 6 months. And everyone's like, get away from me. And you're like, I don't have COVID or the plague. I swear. I just, you know, just, it's just that horrible cough. And so I said, nobody make me laugh or I'm going to have like a horrible, like coughing fit, you know? So it was so sweet and lovely, like such perfect timing. And I'm so grateful to have done these very sweet scenes. There's one scene in the car that just kills me in the car with her, because she has to kind of tell her mom, she has to really tell her mom what's going on, you know, and like parents raise their kids differently than how I was raised, maybe, or you, and so on and so on. Right. So The mom needs to know what's going on to make sure she's not in trouble. She hasn't done something wrong or something's not going on wrong to her or whatever. So you do get to have some kind of connection in the booth. But to even hear Tom Hanks and Tim Allen are like, yep, we see each other at these events and on interviews. That's why they're always so tickled to see each other, because they've been in, they're never in the booth together.
Never. It's an incredible process. Lori, really thank you. Thank you so much for being with us here this evening, and
thank you.
Continued unbelievable success in your acting, voiceover, whatever career path you take. Really, really enjoyed talking to you, and I can't wait to see and hear more of your work.
Oh, thank you. And you do have a voice for radio, my dear. Don't you forget it with that voice.
Okay, I'll take that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Lori Allen,
you sound good, darling. Bye.